Thank you, praise team, for leading us in worship this morning. And you always do such a wonderful job, and I just want to let you know how much I personally appreciate that. Well, it's good to see you here, and I hope you're survived our week of winter. I've now declared that it's spring, and I'm forecasting no more snow, and we think, who is it I was talking to was coming in? People are going to shoot the groundhog, something like that, you know, so that it can't come out of the hole and see if it's got a shadow. I don't even know, I don't remember, because he's shadow is more bad weather, right? Is that how it's supposed to work? Or is that just East Coast? I don't know. You know, there's strange over there. I didn't believe just about any. I did notice today, and I'm just going to, you know, fair warning, right? As I was stuffing the bulletin this week, I was reading through the Power for Living, and neat thing, those of you sports people, I'm sure you're going to read that. But what I want to say is on the back page, there's a puzzle. Now, this is really fun and do it at home. But I was thinking about taking all the pink pencils out of the pews and so that you couldn't take time. My guess is about half of you will have this filled out by the time the sermon is done. Maybe even before I start my sermon. I don't know. Maybe you've got it filled out already. But anyway, just kind of thought that throw it in there. It's like, why in the world would they put a puzzle in the back of a bulletin insert? You know? Something for the adults to do during this service? I don't know. So anyway, just fair warning, I'll be watching you. And yeah, we're going to be talking about Bible study. And it's like, so how do you talk about Bible study? You know, because I'm not going to give you directions on how to do Bible study. I think we can probably figure that out. But really, the question that we're going to deal with grapple with using our midweek term for the question to give our kids, why should we study the Bible? Why is it important? Now, years ago when I came here, I can actually say years ago when I came here, first came here, I talked to an individual, and this individual said, well, I don't need to study the Bible because the pastor told me that everything I need to know about the Bible, he'll tell me. And I'm kind of saying, I don't know what pastor you listened to, but that certainly wasn't, hopefully, a pastor at this church, because you know what? I can tell you just about anything. If you're not in this word, you don't know what I'm saying. You know, if you don't open your Bible, I can manipulate what's on the screen, which you see up there. When you look at when you read the screen up here, and I don't know if you know this, Steve and I can manipulate that. Steve can't, he's never learned how. But, so Dean's up there, you know, it's perfectly legit because he doesn't know how to do that. Steve and I can manipulate that. He can't too. I'm just giving him a bad time. No, he can't. Okay. I'm not giving him a bad time. Truth sometimes hurts. But, you know, we kind of change that to, if we don't like a word, we can take it out. If we don't like what it says, we can change it around. And that's the thing that's really neat about your actual Bible. They can't change those words on you. Well, if you get a new version, they do. So you got to watch what version you get. But, you know, it's set in print. And so it's important that you have this book in your possession and you read it and look at it. And what I'm going to do, and I thought about this and kind of struggled with this a little bit this week, is, again, how do you give a sermon on Bible study? Well, I think the way that you do that and the way that you encourage people to study the Bible is simply to talk about the Bible itself. Now, back in week 7, clear back in, I think in October, the end of October, it was like 27th or something like that, we looked at the Bible in our study, and we talked about the Bible and what it is and that type of thing, and we're going to kind of revisit that, because unless you know the importance of this book, why study? It's not a manual, an instruction manual, and yet it is. It's not just a book of poetry, and yet it has poetry in it. It's just not a book of history, and yet it is a book of history. But it's a book that is so vitally important for us, and it's something that we need to be in at all times. Now, just, you know, kind of a simple illustration is, how many of you have ever bought something and you brought it home and you opened it up and you had to put it together? Now, okay, men, I know this doesn't apply to you because you don't read instructions. But women, ladies, you would, because you're a little bit smarter than we are. But, you know, and you have no clue how to put it together. You have no clue how this thing all fits together. So what do you need to put it together? You need the instructions. Now, I know you younger people are going to say, I just need to go to YouTube. And YouTube will show me how to put it together. I went to YouTube to see how to change something in Hannah's car once, when Hannah was still here. And, you know, I looked at YouTube, and I watched this guy do it, and looked simple. I didn't realize that the guy was from Britain, and his car was backwards from her car. You know, and it's like, where he was sitting outside of the car dealing on this thing here, I had to be inside the car, upside down, with my feet over the back seat and my head down under that dashboard, and I got stuck there. You know, so YouTube's okay. It has helped me out a lot of things I did read. Oh, there it is. I can't get to it and I cannot move, but there it is. But the importance of instruction. How do we do something? How do we learn? You know, before we drive a car, we have instructions. We read a manual. We go through that and we read it and we take a driver's test. We go to school. Why do we go to school? To learn things. Now, some people excel in math, some in sciences, some in English. Some don't excel at all. Some excel in sports. You know, but all these things, one of the things they required you is to read the books. And you had to know the books to learn the subject. And for a lot of us, you know, we did that and we learned the subject. Well, there's no more important subject to learn than about your faith and your walk in the Lord. So why is it that we don't think it's important to study that and to learn about that? None of us has it all put together yet. None of us are at the place where we can say, well, I've read it many times, and so I know all there is in it, and I don't need to study anymore. You know, it amazes me, the older I get, the more I find in God's Word that I haven't seen before. I don't know how many of you have ever had that experience. It's like, I've seen this verse a lot of times. And all of a sudden, it just, boom, the Holy Spirit shows you something new. You know, because this book is tremendously deep, and yet it's tremendously simple. So I don't want people to say, well, I can't read the Bible. It's too complicated. If you get into the genealogies, yeah, it can be a little complicated, and no, I cannot pronounce any of those names in there. You know, I do pretty good with Adam and Eve, and I don't do too bad with Abraham and Sarah and David, you know, Jacob. Those are pretty easy names to get, but boy, you get in there into those genealogies, and you get into those different tribes of people that lived over there, and you know, forget, so, you know, yeah, some of that stuff is kind of hard to understand. It's important if you can work through it, because we do need to know some of those things. So, yes, there's a deep complexity to God's Word, but there's also a simplicity to God's Word. One of the books that is the most read book as far as is helping someone understand God and His love is the book of John, right? That's the book that's given out a lot of times to people to read, is the book of John, because it presents very simply the gospel of Jesus Christ and why He needed to come. And so it's simple in that anyone really can pick up and learn from it, but it's complex in that there's so much there that we can study it our entire life and still be learning something new about it at all times. So so we're going to look at why is the Bible and why is it important that we learn God's Word or know God's Word or study God's Word? Why is it? Well, we're just going to look at a few things. Now, we could go, we could probably have an endless list of things about the Bible that are important. I can't list them all here. You can work on those in your small groups if you have something that you want to do or need to do in your small groups. And I'll go ahead and work on the list that I have and go farther with it, further with it. But we're just going to look at a few things about the Bible. And so in your notes it says, the Bible is, and then I have some points underneath it. And the first thing that is really important for us to know is that the Bible is God's letter to us. God's letter to us. You know, I had in there this God's Word. You know, and I like that, and we hear that a lot, and it is very true. It's God's Word. But I like to make it a little bit more personal than that. It's His letter to us. You know, why did God write us a letter? Why did He do that? Well, He did it because He loves us. And He wants us to know the truth. And it's important that we know God's Word. And again, and this is just stuff that you've heard before, but we need to constantly remember it. 2 Timothy 3:16, just the first five words. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Now, there are people who say, you know, well, I don't follow the Bible because I don't agree with the Apostle Paul. I don't like his theology. I don't like what he said. I don't like his thinking. Well, yes, we do see Apostle Paul's personality in his writing. But Apostle Paul wrote what the Holy Spirit told him to write. It's not the Apostle Paul's words. Yes, he wrote them. He penned them. But they are God's words that were written down by the Apostle Paul. And you can say that of any writer of any of the books in the Bible. It's what God told them to write down. It is God-breathed. It is inspired by our God. Peter writes in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, he says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke of God, from God, as they were carried along by His Holy Spirit. You know, so when we read the Bible, it's not Paul's words. It's not Peter's words. It's not Moses' words, who wrote a lot. It's not David's words. These men were all inspired by God through His Holy Spirit to pen the words that we have in this book. And so it's God's letter to us. You know, and letters are important. Now, I learned something interesting, and maybe I knew this, but I didn't think enough. Melissa saved all the letters I wrote her. All three of them. We weren't going together that long, and she lived fairly close, so, you know, I mean, writing is not my strong suit. But she saved those because they were important, because they were from me to her, and they're important to her. I didn't know I was supposed to save those letters that she wrote me. So anyway, I don't think I have, but you know, again, that's kind of the guy girl thing type of thing. But it's like, well, but this is God's letter to us. And we should be like Melissa and some of your other ladies. And these are important to us. Because this is not the ramblings of a bunch of men. This is the thoughts of our loving God, our personal God, who cared so much about us that He wanted to write us a letter that will help us do this. So first of all, remember, it's God's word. It's God's letter to you. The next thing, very simple. The Bible is very useful. The Bible is useful. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. I'm going to look at the whole passage here. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See how important that is? God's word, it frames us. It corrects us, rebukes us, trains us in righteousness. It prepares us to be the servants that God wants us to be. What does God want us to do? It's in here. Now, God has a personal will for each and every one of us that we really need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit if we're going to understand that for our lives. But God's will, in a large part, is contained in this book. His will is in this book. His desires are in this book. If you want to know God's will, if you want to know God's desires, if you want to know about God's love, it's in this book. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to be a person who is useful to God, then you have to be in God's word. Because it trains you, it corrects you, it shapes you. It makes you into the person that God desires you to be when you study it. And I'm going to have to put this in there too, apply it to your life. Just study alone isn't going to help. You need to study it, and then you need to apply it to your life. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writes this. He says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So you look at that and you say, it doesn't have anything to do about Bible study. Well, doesn't it? doesn't it? How do you transform your mind? How do you do that? Is it, you know, do you go, I don't know, you know, or do you have to go sit on a mountaintop and, you know, so the altitude flushes out your mind and you don't get any oxygen and you're brain dead? What is it that you gotta do to transform your mind? Well, you're in God's Word. You read God's Word because God's Word tells you again what God wants you to do. The world is against this book. Have you ever noticed that? The world doesn't like this book. You know, basically, it's been banned in most of our public schools. You know, well, you can carry it, but boy, you sure don't do anything with it. Don't tell anything about it because then you're in trouble. In a lot of countries in this world, if you have a Bible, you can be put in prison. Or you can be killed for having a Bible. See, the world does not want you to have a Bible. That's because Satan does not want you to have a Bible. We are so blessed in this nation that we can have a Bible and no one can take it away from us. And yet, how many of us utilize the freedom we have to have God's Word and actually read it and study it and spend time in it every day? Because it's so useful to us. The next thing about God's Word is the Bible is truth. Bible is truth. Now, today, I don't know about you, but as I'm listening to the news, or if I'm reading a newspaper, and or, you know, a lot of you people get news over the internet now, or you get whatever, and you look in there, and have you ever read an article and said, where's the truth? Where's the truth? What is the truth in our world today? In our nation, what is the truth? You have two groups of people that are leading our nation, and one group of people saying, this is the truth, and you've got another group of people saying, this is the truth. Where's the truth? My guess it's somewhere more in the middle than it is way over here or way over here. But we know, as believers, where the truth is. The truth is here. The truth is in God's Word. If you want to know the truth, pick up your Bible and start reading it. No, it's not going to necessarily tell you what political party is right or what organization is right. And yet, it will tell you that because it will give you some life principles that you follow. And if you follow those life principles, it's pretty easy to tell who's telling the truth and who's not the truth and where the truth lies. Because generally, the truth doesn't lie with much of anyone in the world. Only those who have God's Word. It's the truth. And if we look at the scripture, it backs it up. Psalm 33:4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Psalms 119:43. The psalmist writes, do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. John 8:31-32. For the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. First, where do we find Jesus' teachings? We find them in God's Word. If we hold on to God's word, to the teachings of Jesus, and to the teachings of God through the scriptures, then we will know the truth. And we will be set free from all the confusion that is in the world today about what the truth truly is. Then John 17:17, in Jesus' prayer to the Father, one of the most moving prayers, if you want to read a great prayer, John 17:17 says, Jesus praying here, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You want to know what truth is? Right here. You have it. You have it. The Bible is hope. The Bible is hope. We have such a tremendous hope. But what is that hope in? I mean, if you don't know what God's word's talking about, then how do you know there's hope? God's word is hope. Psalms 119:49. And again, if you want to read about God's word, take Psalms 119, get yourself a cup of coffee, sit down in a comfortable chair, because it's going to take you a while. But read it, because it's all about God's word. But verse 49 of that psalm says, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. And there's hope in God's word. That's why I think there's so little hope in this world, because there are so many people who don't regard God's word, who don't study God's word. Even within the church, it's sad to see people who don't seem to have any hope. Of all people, we are the people that know what hope is and who our hope is in. We have hope. It's in God's word. Romans 15:4, Paul writes, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The Bible is hope. The next one's a little tougher to describe, but it's kind of an interesting concept. The Bible is alive. The Bible is alive. When we look at our key verse for today, it's Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So how can God's word be living? What do you mean it's living? You know, if I set this on my desk, and if I don't move it, it doesn't move itself. It stays there. You think if it was living, it would move. Well, of course, that's absurd. This is a book. Books aren't alive. They don't walk around. They don't talk unless you watch Harry Potter. Then some of those books are a little dangerous. But, you know, it's living in that it is alive. It has purpose and meaning for us today. We find life through it. It changes us. It encourages us. It lifts us up. It challenges us. It's like not just, you know, you read some of these old books, and I'm not a reader. I have to admit that. I'm not a reader. My wife's dismay. I'm not a reader. I know she loves to read. Alan, you love to read. You know, you give Alan a book, and he reads it in 2 days. Give me a book, I read it in 2 years. You know, I'm not a real reader at that. But That's because so many things that I've read and stuff like that, they're stagnant words. They're just words, and you put them into your brain, but they don't benefit you. They don't change you. You know them, and that's great. But the Bible is not that way. It's not a stagnant word. It's something that lives and breathes, and it changes you, and it gives you these things that we talk about, hope and joy and peace, all these things we find in God's Word. It is alive. It can transform your life. And I love it when we have the Gideons here. And when they show us those videos of people who are about to end their lives, or who are in prison and who are despicable people, but they get a hold of God's Word and it transforms them. A lot of them become pastors. That's exciting. God's Word is alive. In 1 John 2:14, John writes, "I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." The Word of God lives in you. It's His living Word. The Bible is alive. Just a couple more points, and then we're going to close, and again, you can carry on just brainstorming what the Bible is in your small groups if you don't have a plan already. The Bible is a guide for us. It is a guide for us. You know, we ask questions, what should I do? Well, a lot of those questions can be answered in the Bible. A lot of them can be answered in the Bible. Psalms 19:8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eye." What's the purpose of light? Light illuminates things so that we can see what we're doing. You know, I've talked many times about my exploits of walking around in the dark because I'm too lazy to turn on a light. Well, we fixed that now. We have motion sensor night lights that, even though I'm too lazy to turn on the light comes on for me. And it helps me get through the house. We don't have those here at the church. We don't. And I'm usually pretty good at it. Occasionally, though, on the first Sunday of the month, there's a piece of furniture that gets moved. It's this little black table that we put the communion stuff on. And sometimes the deaconesses, who remain nameless, move that table and they put it right next to the kitchen door out there. I don't turn the light on when I go into the kitchen to make coffee. And I come firing out of that kitchen, and guess what I run into? It's dark and I didn't see it. You see, light is so important. We need light to see. You don't drive around at night with your headlights off, do you? Do you? Okay. No, you don't. Now, I know when there's a full moon and the road is straight, how many of you have ever turned off your headlights just to see if you can drive by the light of the moon? You ever done that? Yeah. Jacob, I wouldn't be admitting that if I were you, but that's okay. You know, I've done that, and you know generally what happens? I shut off my headlights, and boy, I turn them on really quick because I can't see a darn thing. You know, because I need to put it back on again. We need the light to see. It's a guide for us. It illuminates the path for us. Psalm 119, 105. "Your light is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Illuminates me. Then the last thing, and not, again, the list is endless. The last thing I'm going to mention is the Bible is a source of strength. It's a source of strength for us. In Psalm 19, verse 9, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can he do that? By living according to his word. Now, there's kind of a double meaning here. By following his words means you won't go into the path of wrong, but also God's word gives you the ability to do what is right. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word gives us strength against sin. It gives us strength against sin and encouragement against sin. And it gives us, again, direction on how to live life without sinning. Now, of course, we can't follow the Bible perfectly. I wish we could. And we do sin. But God's word can give us the strength to stand strong. And then going back to a passage that we've already used, 1 John 2:14, where John writes, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. Then he goes on, why are they strong? You are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. You don't overcome the evil one on your own, folks. You can try, but I guarantee you, you will not win. But with the word of God in your heart, and knowing the word of God, one of the things you can recognize Satan's schemes. Because Satan's schemes are contrary to this. You can recognize it. You can see what it is that Satan is trying to do in your life. And then it can give you strength to stand against the schemes of Satan. Now, we can go, as I said, on and on and on and on about talking about the Bible, God's Word. But what the point, the whole thing kind of boils down to is if we have something that is this important, that is this exciting, that is this powerful, that is this useful, that gives hope and joy and peace. See those things that you mentioned. If we have something like that in our possession, how foolish are we not to be studying it and learning it and applying it to our lives so that we can grow in the Lord, and we can grow in our spiritual walk, and we can grow in our service to the Lord. We have the tools. We have God's Word. We have the Holy Spirit, which we talked about again, who lives in us. And the Holy Spirit takes God's Word and uses it in our lives. We have this. We need to be studying it. We need to be studying it on our own. Personal Bible study, so important. You need to find time to do that. We need to study it together because it's so important that we share ideas. Because there's sometimes I don't understand what a passage says, but someone else says, well, this is what I think it says. And all of a sudden it's bing. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. So corporate Bible study is important. You know, we as a church need to build more Bible studies. Men or women are putting us, they're disgracing us. They have two great Bible studies. They have about 30 ladies attending Bible studies. Man, we don't have one. We need to get one going. And it doesn't just have to be one of the pastors, because guess what? None of the pastors do the ladies' Bible study. The ladies do the ladies' Bible study. So, yes, as pastors, we're men, and we should be doing the Bible study, and we should be. But there's nothing stopping any of you men from saying, hey, I'm going to hold a Bible study in my house. or down at a restaurant or here at the church. We need to be in God's Word, personally and corporately. How much do you know about the Bible? How much have you hidden in your heart? How much do you know about it? It's vitally important to your spiritual life that you know about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you do give us your word, which is powerful, which is precious, which, Lord, we can go on and on and on how important it is for us. Lord, through the power of your word and your Holy Spirit, challenge our hearts to study your word more and more and more, and then, Lord, to apply the things that we learn to our lives that we may grow in. Thank you, Lord, for this challenge. Give us strength to meet what you have challenged us with this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.